Well, as you just heard, a panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is weighing whether or not to strip temporary protective status holders of their status. Since taking office, President Trump has worked hard to nominate more conservative judges to the Ninth Circuit, which represents California and eight other Western states. And with me to talk about those changes, what they mean for California and the nation as a whole, is John Michaels, who's a law professor over at UCLA. Welcome, Professor.
Thanks for having me.
How much of a change have we seen in the Ninth Circuit since President Trump took office?
So we've seen significant change, actually. There's been a number of appointments that the president has made. More generally, the president has made significant numbers of appointments to all the federal benches. But we've seen a marked increase in the number of appointments in the last 2 years on the Ninth Circuit. I think there have been 8 confirmations in 2 years, and there are 3 more pending. That's a pretty high number for 2 years of any administration. In the 8 years of the Obama administration, there were 7 Court of Appeals judges named and confirmed by President Obama. So just to give you a sense of scale.
A sense of scale. Of course, there was a Republican Congress that did not push forward a lot of his nominees, correct?
What's made it easier to push appointments through is in 2013, the Senate ended the filibuster, which meant instead of needing 60 votes to confirm a judge in the Senate, you needed only 51. And so that kind of opened the floodgates considerably. But even with that lower threshold, by the latter years of the Obama administration, Senate Majority Leader McConnell was doing his best to bottle up a number of the appointments, most significantly that of Judge Merrick Garland for the Supreme Court vacancy that was left with Justice Scalia's passing.
With Justice Scalia's passing with nearly a year to go, right, in the Obama presidency. Let's talk more historically about the Ninth Circuit and exactly how it was created. Like, this goes back to Jimmy Carter's years, right?
Yeah. So there were a number of spots opened during the Carter years. I believe it was 1978 that led to it just happened to land in President Carter's lap. Someone who didn't, for instance, get a Supreme Court nomination, but happened to get to drive the kind of jurisprudential agenda of the Ninth Circuit for decades. So it turns out they created a bunch of new judgeships in the Western United States. Carter filled those, and of course he filled them with folks of a similar jurisprudential leaning to that of the kind of mainstream Democrats, and that created a path dependency that there were so many more, let's say, judges who shared kind of an outlook or a constitutional vision consistent with that of what we associate with Democrats. It's hard to, you know, I don't want to use the term Democratic judges and Republican judges because I think that's oversimplifying things and a little bit misleading. But it is fair to say that presidents look and senators look for judges who share their kind of legal values.
The Ninth Circuit has been a headache, obviously, for Republican presidents because it is the largest. It represents about 20% of the American population. It's got a reputation for being, if we don't say Democrat, we say more liberal, right? So the reputation came because of Jimmy Carter filling many of those slots in 1978. But then over the years, I mean, through attrition, obviously, things change. And that's where we are right now, correct?
So things change. And so part of it is just demographic in that, you know, vacancies do not open up on perfect scheduling. It's not as if all the Carter retirees were replaced in the Clinton administration or the Obama administration. You know, some of them were replaced under George H.W. Bush. Some of them were replaced under George W. Bush. And so over time, things have balanced out to a considerable extent.
Does that mean then when a vacancy comes up in the Ninth Circuit, because it's a Western circuit, that it has to come from those 9 states, California and the 8 other states?
It doesn't have to, and there's been some controversy about that. In fact, with one of the recent judges that the president has named and the Senate confirmed, who grew up here but spent his professional life in Washington, D.C. So there's always a little bit of concerns about things like that. Historically, the home state senators have had much more influence over whether a judge could be put forward, and that practice is largely died away. I mean, essentially, the California senators have opposed, I believe, each of the Trump nominees to the Ninth Circuit from California. And that historic practice of senatorial courtesy.
This is, are you talking about blue slips?
Mm-hmm.
Explain what a blue slip is.
So the practice, which was, you know, there's no constitutional rule for this. It was just a historic practice of kind of interbranch comedy to allow the senators from the home state to basically give a thumbs down to a judge that they oppose in their state. And that would essentially be like a veto mark, a veto point. And over time, that practice has largely died down, and now it's been pretty much altogether abandoned, so that the home state senators have no more influence over the vote of a judicial nominee than the senators from any other state.
With these changes that have happened, especially with the Trump administration now and the president himself nominating people for these vacancies, are we seeing a tilt now from a left-leaning court to a more right-leaning court?
So I think it's a little too early to say, but I think that is likely to be the net effect. As it is under most administrations. Under most administrations, especially if the president serves for 8 years, historically it's been he will bring the court into either the Republican or the Democratic fold, the conservative or the more liberal fold, and the jurisprudence will reflect that, and there'll be cases that'll come out more friendly to those interests that are most closely aligned with the party in power. There is something called in-bank proceedings for high-stakes cases. And for high-stakes cases, it's essentially all the active judges sit down and decide a case, as opposed to simply just a three-judge panel. When you have three judges on a large court and they're chosen randomly, you may have three of the most liberal judges, or you may have three of the most conservative judges who happen to just find themselves in the courtroom together on a given day when your case is being argued. So there's always that statistical glitch. But by and large, the more conservatives are on the court, the more likely you're going to appear before a conservative-leaning panel.
Well, I suspect the person who makes the decision on who goes to the panel is a pretty powerful person, right?
It's a lottery.
Oh, it is a lottery. It's like, is it the little ping pong balls?
Otherwise, I don't know the exact approach and whether it's computerized or whether it's in a hat, or I don't know the process, but otherwise you are absolutely right. It would be devastatingly strategic for who gets assigned courtroom A and who gets assigned courtroom B.
UCLA law professor John Michaels, thank you for your time, sir. We appreciate it, professor.
My pleasure. Take care.
Oh, fly, fly, fly like an eagle. Coming up, the road home from LAX is paved with good intentions, but a week later, there's no shortage of opinions about the ride-hailing system there. You're going to hear about it next on Greater LA.